Today, my dear faithful, is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6. Brethren, be strengthened in the Lord and in the might of his power. Put you on the armor of God, in that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. Therefore take unto you the armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and to stand in all things perfect. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of justice, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In all things taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to extinguish all the fiery darts of the most wicked one, and to take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 18. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to take the account, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents. And as he had not wherewith to pay it, his Lord commanded that he should be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. But that servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And the Lord of that servant, being moved with pity, let him go, and forgave him the debt. But when that servant was gone out, he found one of his fellow servants that owed him 100 pence. And laying hold of him, he throttled him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." And his fellow servant, falling down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he paid the debt. Now his fellow servants, seeing what was done, were very much grieved, and they came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord called him and said to him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou besoughtest me. Shouldst thou not thou then have had compassion also on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee?" And his lord, being angry, delivered him to the torturers until he paid all the debt. So also shall my heavenly Father do to you, if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. His Lord called to him and said to him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou besoughtest me. Shouldst not thou then have had compassion also on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee?" Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Before I entered the seminary, my dear faithful, I, as many people that age, worked at a restaurant as a busboy for some time. I was close friends with the family of the owner, and so they knew that I was a Catholic. Now, while I worked there, the restaurant was actually robbed. One night, a certain waiter was assigned to close up the restaurant for the night. But while he was making his rounds, he also broke into the cash registers. He stole over $1,000 in cash, then got in his car with his wife and raced towards Mexico. My friend, the restaurant owner, realized what happened only the next morning. Of course, she called the police immediately, but the thief had already had an entire night's head start and was most likely some states away. My friend was naturally infuriated. She was so upset by this that she would frequently mention this to anyone who would listen. And that was how it came about, soon after the theft, that she called me out to one of the tables. She introduced me to one of the diner's patrons. Then she explained that this man owned his own restaurant and had something very similar happen to him. The man told how one of his waiters had emptied the registers and had also managed to get into the safe. That thief made away with over $10,000. The owner continued telling his story and explained that at first he was, like my friend, angry and bitterly searched for the thief. However, he was a religious man, a Protestant, and as a Protestant, he often prayed the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And so he repeatedly came to the words, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Eventually, those words hit the man, and he realized our Lord had commanded him to forgive. Then he thought to himself of the thief, not as a thief, but as a human being. He remembered how poor the waiter was, struggling to make ends meet. He thought of how much this poor man could use that money, and on the other hand, how he, the owner, could get along without it. Yes, it was quite a sum of money, but this Protestant man forgave the thief. He called the police and told them not to worry about searching for that man anymore. What a wonder of forgiveness and mercy, my dear faithful, just as our Lord wanted to teach in today's gospel. The king in the gospel represents God Almighty, while the servant who owes such an incredible debt symbolizes us. To understand something of our debt to God, it is helpful to see how much that incredible debt of 10,000 talents really was, and what it is really worth in U.S. dollars. One study states a single talent is worth a little more than $700,000 of 2010 U.S. dollars. That's a good bit more than it is today. 10,000 talents, then, would be worth a little over 7 billion U.S. dollars. 7 billion U.S. dollars. Paying such a debt is unimaginable. For the ordinary man, that would take hundreds of years to pay back. And yet, what is that? What is hundreds of years compared to the eternal punishment one mortal sin deserves? One mortal sin is worthy of eternal punishment because it is an infinite thing. By mortal sin, we cause an injury to an infinite person. Justice must be paid, and our Lord took that debt upon himself. In order for us to be forgiven this impossible debt, God sent our Lord to suffer and die on the cross to atone for our sins. God, as the master in today's gospel, has forgiven us our unpayable debt of punishment. And for this reason, he demands that we, for our part, forgive the offenses committed against us. The habit of forgiveness, then, is essential for a Christian. Even Protestants, such as the man from the story, have learned that same lesson. How much more should we, who have the true faith, be willing to pardon injuries committed against us. Every week, the sacrament of penance is available to us, where God will pardon every sin that we confess with true sorrow, and as often as we confess it with that same sorrow. There is our King, offering forgiveness for our debts that are far beyond $7 billion. Every week, then, we have this supreme example of the divine goodness towards us. How much more should we, then, be willing to forgive and to forget? Especially when our offenses against God are so much more than men's offenses against us. There is infinity against what is, in the end, a finite, limited thing. And yet, it is true, fallen human nature rebels against it. When someone wrongs us in some way, whether it is a real injury or merely imagined, we are tempted to turn to our fellow man and, like the servant from the gospel, laying hold of him, throttle him, saying, "Pay what thou owest." Hopefully, we don't literally try throttling someone, but how easy it is to harbor a grudge. How frequently we bristle at the memory of their offense against us. How quickly we wish for vengeance. Our Lord demands that we imitate his mercy. He explicitly declared this to us in today's gospel, as well as when he taught the apostles the Our Father. As the Protestant restaurant owner from the story pointed out, our Savior told us to pray the words, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." As we forgive others, so God forgives us. And as the Catechism of the Council of Trent put it, the contrary is true as well. If you will not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive you your sins. When, my dear faithful, then, when you're angered by something, whether an event in your own life or some public wrongdoing, remember this mercy of Christ and then strive to imitate that mercy. To help you do this, think of our Lord in his passion and compare your sufferings to our Lord's. The innocent God-man was scourged until his skin hung from him. He was crowned with thorns that pierced into his skull. He carried a cross that renewed all his wounds as it scraped against him and bore down upon him. And then he was nailed to a cross to hang and to die. Your sins and my sins put Christ there. Ours is the hand that held those whips, that crowned the thorns, that swung the hammer into the nails. What is the injury that you or I may suffer in our own life compared to our Lord's suffering? And yet, God has forgiven you and me. Now, it is our turn, as faithful servants of this merciful God, to mirror the mercy shown us by striving to forgive anyone who does us wrong. This does not mean that you will not feel anger. Our emotions are sadly not always under our full control. Even when we strive to curb them, sometimes they may rage on. Like a disobedient child, There will be occasions when it takes time for those tempestuous emotions calm down and their temper tantrums end. We are more than our emotions, though. We have a mind able to know right from wrong, and a free will able to choose good over evil. And whatever the temptation or situation is, God never allows a cross that is too great for us. If you find yourself struggling, know that God is there beside you, counting every one of your weary steps along the way of your cross. He tallies them all as gifts to himself, and he will reward you 100-fold for every one. If you strive to be merciful, then, my dear faithful, when you stand before the judgment, you will behold what mercy God gave to you throughout your life. You will see fully how your sins wounded the Sacred Heart, poured out his most precious blood throughout his agony, and how they buried the nails and spear through his body. What gratitude will fill your heart as you realize the enormity that God forgave you for. And you will thank God for the opportunity to forgive others as you were forgiven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.